So yeah, what are you up to these days? Where are you now, and what's your living situation? Share with us however much you're comfortable sharing.
Well, I'm working with a plumbing supply company. Basically just make deliveries, deliver water heaters, but it's a pretty good job. It pays well. And I mean, it's hard work, but I'm glad to have a job at this point.
Was it difficult? Was it difficult finding work?
Well, I guess it would depend on what kind of field you're looking for work in. Because before I was working with this company, I was with a food catering company called Pacific Gourmet, and they would basically deliver food to all these restaurants all over the Bay Area. And when COVID started, things started getting slow at first, and then it just shut down completely. Mm-hmm. And everybody got laid off, and they haven't caught anybody back since.
Wow, yeah. But plumbing keeps on rolling. What was your situation like right after? Tell me about getting out. What was that like for you? Like the day of?
I mean, it's just funny because that day is so clear, but it's also kind of a blur at the same time. I mean, I knew it was coming. I knew the day. I didn't know exactly what time, but when I was sitting in the San Francisco County Jail and they told me that I was going to go home, it was just, it still hit me. And I went through that whole release process, sitting in the holding cell for a few hours. And I didn't know which one of my family members was going to come and pick me up. The first person I saw was my sister, whom I hadn't seen or talked to in like 2 or 3 years. And just seeing her, like the first person as I'm getting out, it just, we both broke down in tears and we just hugged. And then I got in the car, and the drive to her house was just, it's kind of nostalgic because we drove down 101 South. And I could see all the old places that I could see that I could remember. It was kind of like a dream.
So you were in San Francisco County. What were the circumstances there? Were you down for a court appearance? I mean, you were released right from there?
Yeah. My lawyer petitioned for SB 1437, and we won a hearing with the judge who initially sent me to prison. And she was actually pretty cool about things, the whole proceeding. And even the DA, who was on the case at the time, she seemed like her whole opinion had just gone in the opposite direction. Like she saw me and she broke down in tears, and she said she looked at my file, saw where they sent me, saw the type of stuff that was on my prison record, and she didn't think that I was going to have that hard of a time. But I guess they felt like I shouldn't have been sent to prison for that long in the first place. But under the law at that time, that's all they could do.
That's surreal. These are the people that sent you to prison, and they're like happy to see you get out. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
How long were you inside?
Almost 11 years.
Okay. How long were you at Pelican Bay?
About 6.
Wow. So you were just, it wasn't a parole thing or anything. You were just out, free, right? Like time served, done?
Yeah, that was the best Well, one of the best things about it. So my original charge was felony murder. Well, specifically robbery murder. And with 1437, they could only charge me with a robbery because they couldn't prove that I was the one who actually committed the murder. So the judge resentenced me to robbery with the maximum of, it was either 5 or 6 years. And since I had already done almost twice that time, she decided that I wouldn't have to do any parole time.
Wow. So did you take part in any programming, anything when you got out, anything to sort of help you, or were you just back out and in the arms of your family?
I just went straight to my family. I'm still living with my sister now. It's a pretty crazy living situation. It's 9 of us.
Oh, man.
All in one house, but it's actually the most feasible thing because it's just so expensive anywhere in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I think like that specifically is the hardest thing to prepare for. I mean, we can do as much as we can inside, plan ahead, just think of every possible circumstance. But once you're actually out here, the reality of it is you can't really prepare yourself for it in that sense. For me, it was just the family situation and work. I didn't really give myself much time to just rest and soak in the freedom. I just started working immediately. I started off just helping my father out, and eventually I got a job by the airport and by the SFO, and then I just kind of went downhill from there.
Wow, what are your? I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was gonna break in with a question, but if you've got more to continue with, I won't.
No, go ahead. You might inspire a better answer.
No, that's okay. What about? Wow. So, I mean, I guess what you're saying then is you didn't have time. I mean, you get that ride home that's kind of surreal and dreamlike, but you know, you didn't have time to really reflect on not being on parole, not being in a halfway house, not being in something like that, you know, and continuing on in the program. You're just out in the real world, and then right away, just another working stiff trying to make a living. And that's just,
yeah,
that's so, I mean, wow. Yeah. So, I mean, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what that mental adjustment was, but it sounds like you just didn't have time to even think about that stuff.
I did later. It's not a long situation. It's just kind of embarrassing for me. But I don't mind if you put this out there, because I would like other people to know about this kind of situation.
Okay.
But it's like I said. I felt like I had so much time to make up for. I wanted to contribute to my family because they've been and it was just part of the family situation was that they had paid so much for my lawyer in the appeal process, which eventually didn't even do anything for me. So they wasted tens of thousands of dollars on a lawyer, probably close to $100,000. And they're still in debt because of it.
Wow. So, I'm sorry. So are is it in your mindset that you're working that off?
No, it's definitely not that. I won't say that they expect it, but it just feels like the right thing for me to do.
Wow.
Because, I mean, 11 years of just not contributing and just taking from them. Well, that's pretty much, I mean, they'll send me money so I can buy food to live off of, but it's a tough situation. I just feel like I want to do more and I need to do more to help them because they went above and beyond to help me. And I think I went into working with that mindset. And apparently I'm one of the hardest workers that anybody ever met. Because, the first company I worked with at SFO, the first 3 weeks, I had already gotten Employee of the Month, and I hadn't even been there a full month.
That's an achievement, man, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, it was just crazy. I mean, the workload was crazy, and the conditions of that particular environment, it was unacceptable. I mean, it was dirty, it was crowded, it was unsanitary, and these are people serving food on airplanes. Oh, well, prepping the food to be served on airplanes.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things about it, this is the part that really messed me up in the long run, was that they carried liquor, a lot of liquor. And I was working in the warehouse, so I had access to whatever I wanted. I mean, technically, officially, I'm not supposed to touch anything, but even my manager, even the supervisor of that whole branch, they didn't really care because they saw the work that I was doing, and they just let me take what I want. And eventually, that turned to me drinking while I was at work.
Oh, wow.
And, I would start working at 4 in the morning. So I would pretty much be drinking from then until I go to sleep at night. And I also had gotten a second job at a buddy of mine from high school. He owns a restaurant in San Francisco. And he gave me some evenings. So I was working with him Monday through Friday from 4 to 11 p.m. So I would start work at 4 in the morning, get off around 1 or 2. Sometimes I'd have to do overtime. So I would just have to go straight to my second job. But usually I would only get like 1 or 2 hours of rest at that. In between jobs, and like I said, like the alcohol throughout the day, it takes a toll, especially with all that work. And eventually, just the fatigue and the frustration got to me,
yeah.
And I eventually got fired from the airport job. And it was an alcohol-based incident. And I was still working with my buddy for a while, but it wasn't sustainable because, I mean, minimum wage in San Francisco at that time was only $15, I think.
Mm.
So, I just kind of worked myself into a hole.
Wow. So where are you? I mean, did you get out the hole? Or are you still down there, man?
I'd like to say I'm still climbing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm completely out. I mean, I'm still drinking, but at least now I'm not drinking at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like the stupidest thing for me to do after getting fired because of an alcohol-based incident. And then to just do it again, that wouldn't just be like what happened the first time, which I would consider just not being prepared for the pressure and just giving in. But now that I know that that's what can happen, I don't think I'll ever, I would like to think that I would never allow myself to be in that position again. And I mean, I'm doing well here.
Wow.
I've been with this company officially for 6 months, a little over 6 months. And my supervisor liked me so much that he gave me a dollar raise and even gave me a share in the company's profit sharing this year.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess it isn't, employees shouldn't be able to get it unless they've been working there for at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the workload here is even crazier, but I actually enjoy it, and the environment is a lot better. The people are better, and I guess I'm just in a better mind state than I was back then.
Yeah. Do you, what are your long-term plans?
Well, I want to just save up so I can eventually buy a house. And then me, my girlfriend, and my son can have our own place. Eventually get married. But one thing that I really thought I was going to do a lot more of when I got out was like get into my writing and start getting some of my work out there. But over these almost 2 years, it's crazy to think about. Like I'm really just looking at it now, and it's really been almost 2 years, and I haven't written one single thing other than like essays or research for school assignments. And it kind of bugs me because that used to be the only thing I did while I was in prison, just write and help other people with their writing. And I don't know what happened. I guess I just don't have as much time or energy as I used to.
I mean, that makes sense, not having as much time, right? I mean, being out and working like you are. Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're able to get back into it, man, because it was something that you enjoyed and you excelled at.
Yeah.
Do you have any words, you know, like Kay is probably lining up for, you know, in the next couple of years, be getting out over in, as I know, I think he's looking to transfer too. But any words of advice for somebody on the inside who was facing release or parole? Anything you can say to them that might better prepare them?
Yeah, well, the only thing I can really say is you can prepare yourself for all kinds of situations and you might think that you have it all mapped out, but just don't come into any situation with a certain expectation, because it was kind of like that with my family. Like I had it in my mind, like when I got out, this is how our family would be, this is how my relationship would be with my son, with my girlfriend, with my family, and it just didn't turn out the way I imagined. And it's not a bad thing, and it's not that we're not close or we're not, or lack of effort on being a family unit. Is just life on the inside is a lot different from life on the outside. And all the things that we try to prepare ourselves for and plan for on the inside, it can't prepare us for it because we don't know what it's like yet. So yeah, just approach things in life without those very specific expectations, or if you had an idea of something or of how something should be, just don't stick to it. Just go with the flow, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's kind of like, you know, keeping an open mind, and I don't know. It sounds like you faced like disappointment with some of these ideas that you had, and you came out and faced reality. I mean, I know not, you say it's not a bad thing, and I get that, but it had to have been a jarring thing to have to adjust those or even abandon some of those preconceived notions.
Yeah, definitely. For me personally, I feel like I've been trying to establish these relationships and just build on them. Like with my son, like I've been writing him so much and he never really wrote back. And I just chalked it up to not having time or being too involved with other things, and I didn't really mind. And I just really thought that when I came home, that me and my son would be a lot closer than we are. Well, because I got arrested a month before he was born, so I was never with him on the outside. Mm-hmm. So I've never really been involved in his life. And I think that was one of the biggest factors of why that particular situation just kind of veered off course. Because I had it in my mind that we were going to be close, we were going to do things together, we were going to do all this, we were going to be like this, and it didn't turn out that way. And I mean, initially, I mean, I was disappointed. At some points, I was even angry. And, you know, factoring the stress from work and the alcohol, and I would just get angry with him. But I never really thought about how it was for him. I just remembered all these things that I was thinking in my head throughout all these years as he was growing up, and all the things I was missing, all of the things that I wanted to do. And I kind of just took it out on him. But I should have taken into account that just like I'm making an adjustment, he's making an adjustment too. And I mean, we might not have been close initially, like right away, but you know, over time, we were able to work on it. We were able to bond on things. And it's still different from what I imagined, but it's getting better. And as it gets older, I'm hoping that it'll improve.
How old is he now? Is he 12, 13?
Yeah, he's 12.
That's a tough age, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And in fact, especially, right, this is another thing that I really want to warn guys about. If you have kids, especially boys, you got to limit the time on video games, because that stuff will consume their life.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but it really impacts the kind of relationship you guys will have.
How so?
So... Well, I mean, sometimes I'd want to take him to the park to play basketball or just go out and do something, but he'll be playing his Xbox online with his friends, and he won't want to go anywhere. I mean, eventually I started playing video games with him just so I could do something with him, but he'd much rather play with his friends.
Wow.
But I think it's just... I don't know if it's like a generational thing or just this kind of time that they're growing up in, especially now with COVID and everybody being in the house all the time.
But
it seems like that's been a habit of theirs long before I even got out. So So I'm still trying to work.
I never understood. I had to get, like, I've got like two, I have like two kids, a boy and a girl, and I have to, it always surprised me how much I had to try to convince them and control them and sometimes just flat out make them. Yeah, let's go outside. Let's go ride bikes. Let's go do something. This shit I spent all day till it was dark doing when I was a kid. And you're just sitting in front of a screen. And I'm like, seriously? This? Oh, yeah. No, I get you. I think it very much is a generational thing. Yeah, and COVID can't have helped that at all. Yeah, you're right.
No.
Well, yeah. Well, Brian, thanks for talking. Is there anything that you want to add? Anything that I didn't ask that we didn't get to?
Well, just there's always benefits to having a support system like mine, like having family or whomever in your life that you can go to and depend on. But even these programs, like even transitional housing, don't go in with preconceived notions like, oh, this is transitional housing, it's going to suck, or you don't want to go through this kind of experience. Because just talking with David recently about his experiences in transitional housing, it seems like that was something that I could have benefited from, because just based on what he described, it was kind of like an almost simulated prison environment, but on the outside. So now you have this kind of prison aspect that you're already used to, and you're getting used to new aspects, and you're slowly being able to assimilate these other aspects into your life. And it's just not like a sudden change, like, boom, you're out here. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Wow. Wow, yeah, yeah. I don't... That's an interesting set of challenges. You actually bring an interesting set of challenges to this whole mix. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, yeah, it's kind of what we're doing with this podcast is celebrating David getting out. And then also the backside of that is, you know, the programming and the stuff that he did inside and the help and the resources that he has outside. You bring a very interesting turn to that whole experience, though. Thanks so much for talking. I really appreciate it. I know you got into a lot of personal stuff and things that have happened. Is there anything that you don't want me to include? Because I'm going to have to condense this down quite a bit. So, I mean... I don't know if you want me to mention the alcohol, if you want me to talk about that stuff or avoid it.
I don't mind, because especially with the guys who are going to hear it, who know me, like if they can see that me being the person that I was in there and still making that kind of mistake, it can really kind of, I don't know, maybe open their eyes a little bit, or be more conscious of what they're getting themselves into or what they're doing out here.
Yeah, no, I get that. There's lots of value in that as well. I appreciate that, Brian. Thank you, man.